This is a Haunted Attraction Network production. Achieve more with all our products at www.hauntedattractionnetwork.com.
My name's Adrian Noriega. I am the executive producer and creative director of Blackthorn Screamfest. This year, Blackthorn Screamfest is going pro, and it will take place Halloween weekend, October 28th and 29th at the Pico Rivera Sports Arena. It's 15 minutes from Long Beach, 15 minutes LA, right dab in the middle. It's right across from the Rose Hill Cemetery. And as soon as you show up, you should be immersed right into the live music. You got six stages scattered around all around the main stage arena, as well as food trucks and vendors, Halloween related and band related. And to the outsides of the gates in this giant campground dirt area, you have two haunted attractions, each individually themed, and you'll have outside monsters running around with weapons and chainsaws entertaining the guests throughout the night. You can get tickets online at our website, blackthornscreamfest.com, BLACKTHORNESCREAMFEST.com. And the general admission is $25. That's Friday night and Saturday night. At the door, they're going to be $30.
So to sum all this up, $25 general admission if they pay ahead of time, it's $30 at the gate. It's at the Pico Rivera Sports Arena, which is kind of straddling LA and Long Beach in between there. They have access to music, food trucks, vendors, and the two mazes.
Yes.
So for the one ticket price, potentially you get your evening of music, hang out with your friends, like chill around, and then you can go get in line for the mazes, still hear the music, so you're always entertained, and you'll go through the two haunts. Can you go through the haunts multiple times?
You can, yes.
It's really an event for all ages. You could bring families, you know, you could bring your entire friends. Even if some of your friends didn't like the mazes, there's kind of something that everyone could be
doing.
There's
something for everybody. Yes, it's all ages, and for the younger kids, parents know their children better than we do, so tread lightly when it comes to the haunted attractions.
And the atmosphere, is it entirely enclosed or is this outside?
The entire arena and event is all outside. There's no closed up areas, but with the weather, you should be fine. It's usually in the LA, it's nice and cool.
And what type of bands and music are you going to have?
So the Friday lineup is looking at a heavy metal genre, and the Saturday night is hard rock and live DJs.
Seems like a pretty big event. It wasn't always here. This is the first year it's been at the sports.
This
arena.
Is the first time, yes. Before we started off as a home haunt. We did a home haunt for 12 years in my house. It started in the front lawn, and then we got in trouble with the city, so we hid into the backyard.
So walk us through your home haunt and what specifically happened with the city.
It happened on our 10th anniversary. We had a giant facade in the front, and we were open three nights. After the first night, the city got an anonymous complaint. They didn't say why, they didn't say from who, that's the point of anonymous, and they said the structure has to be taken down. This was a week before Halloween, and we were like, well, no. So I had to go talk to the city, figure out what it was. Long story short, the city did not want to be responsible if something was to happen. So we decided like, well, okay, I guess we have to start finding a new property. And that still took time. And so in the meantime, we just moved into the backyard and the city never bothered us again until now. Here we are moving into a commercial environment. And that is an entirely different experience unto itself.
What type of a storyline and theming? Have you kept it the same all the different years?
Each year, it's gotten into a different theme. We've done the Wendigo. We've had a theme of, it was called Zinquishin. It was a clan that killed people for their clan. We've done the Boogeyman. We've done a Victorian-styled old-school haunted house with no lights. We've also did Chernobyl, radioactive mutant nuclear scares.
So every year you kind of pick a central theme and then you reorganize the haunt to be about that theme.
Oh yes. I never like to do the same thing over. I like to keep it different and fresh, different layouts, different style, monsters, characters.
What are your themes this year?
This year we have two mazes. The first is called The Mare. The backstory behind it is Halloween is not as scary as it used to be. And there are those who have been desecrating the holiday, not celebrating. And there has been someone who has been patiently waiting, watching, and he is called The Mayor. He's the mayor of Halloween. And if you are not celebrating, or if you're worse, not desecrating the holiday, he will visit you and your family, and him and his minions will shove Halloween down your throats. Usually you don't survive. So the first maze, you enter the house of the Stevens, who has been visited by the mayor. And you have to tread through the house lightly because there are still some minions in that house visiting. The second half, you'll be going to the factory where Halloween is created. You'll be entering the pumpkin factories where candy is made, and then the mayor, the office himself. The second haunted attraction is Salem's Witches. It was the 1600s, and back in Salem, where people were tried and hung for being witches. And the witches in the forest are angry and they take revenge on the village itself. So you tread through, you start off in the Salem's church. You are encountered by possessed reverends, and as you leave the church and the hanging stations, you tread through the forest and you encounter the witch's cabin, where inside you will find their rituals, rooms, voodoo, and seance.
Tell me about the design and the props and all of the theming elements of the mazes.
All our costumes and props and masks are made by my other company, Inferno Effects. And they'll be providing the custom minions masks and the mayor and any other severed heads and props that you see throughout. We specialize in latex props and foam props. And we're also experimenting with this year first with the mayor himself as a silicone mask. It's very interesting material and first time I ever worked with it. And is there a lot to learn?
Your main characters in this, they're all going to have custom-made masks and theme components.
Yes. Each maze has a custom mask designed specifically for that maze that you will not find anywhere else. You won't find it at any Halloween store or online. It's made specifically just for that character, for that maze.
So talk to me about the transition going from a home haunt to a haunt in a professional commercial space.
I got very, 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 very lucky as when it came to finding this property. Friend of the family, his nephew is a promoter and he does events for all his live musics. And I contacted him and said, hey, we do a home haunt. I'm looking to do, you know, move to a new location and put on this giant Halloween festival. And he said, hold on, let me see what I can do. I contacted him back in March. Couple months go by and he keeps contacting me saying, hey, you know, I'm still looking. And then he finally said, hey, how about the Pico, would you be interested in doing the Pico Rivera Sports Arena? And I said, yes, 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 yes. He said, okay, I'll get it all worked out. We finally signed the papers and the lease for everything at the end of June, beginning of July. So by the time that was done, we had 3 months to put this all together. And for everyone out there who puts on a home haunt or a pro haunt, everyone knows that's a nightmare. So we're in full throttle right now, putting on two mazes, getting everything ready to go set it up at the event.
I mean, do you feel like you're gonna get done in time?
Yes, I don't know why, but I feel like we will. Don't know if that's cocky or confidence, but either and or, we have no choice. Whether I'm staying up for a whole week straight, it's gonna get done.
Your staff is unpaid. They're all still volunteers, right?
Our scarers are paid. Construction-wise right now, it's just three people. We got costumes and masks and then building going up. Cause you know, everyone else right now is working full-time other jobs and it's hard to work for another job as well when you really can't pay them yet. So right now, it's just a very small crew getting it all done. But we've been through worse scenarios, and we can pull it through.
What type of worse scenarios?
I don't know if any other haunters have had this case. It's an overcoming nightmare. It's the only thing that wakes me up in the middle of the night. Not monsters or anything. It's you wake up, it's Halloween morning, and the haunt's not done. That is the worst nightmare I have every time. And then it's sundown for some reason. People are lining up and you're still putting things together. That's my biggest nightmare and it happens every day. But with our scheduling and how everything's going, we are still, everything's going to plan.
You're paying your scarers this year.
Yes. As a commercial for-profit event, you have to pay your workers.
How are you transitioning from, because I assume with your home haunt, you were not paying.
No, they were all strict volunteers.
Yeah, so how are you transitioning them going from volunteer into pay?
Most of our returning volunteers are coming back this year. They're excited because they finally get to do a huge commercial event with more people. We went to Midsummer Scream. We signed people up. And we went through a casting process. We did some auditions with a lot of scarers, and then we hired on more people. So now the crew that we originally started with has doubled for the 2016 season. And they're just as excited, which gets me excited. It keeps all the mood up, and we're ready to go.
Where's the money coming from to pay all the actors? And where's the money coming from to build the set expansion?
You're looking at him. It was my dream as a little kid to one day do this. And now that this is here, you spare no expense. You go all out, put all my cards in because you only get one shot. I'd rather know that I gave it all instead of going, oh, what if, oh, maybe I should have done this. No, just go for it. Yeah, so it's all from my pocket.
Tell me more about your dream. I mean, you're kind of at a crossroads. Like
I am at a huge crossroads right now. Yeah, it's right now I have all my cards in for this company. I work full time with my other company as well, Inferno Effects. So I'm full time just working for myself. I work in a seasonal industry as an artist. You can see how stressing that could be. But knowing that there's all that pressure right there, it helps you push more. It's like you can't, yeah, maybe you can slack off for an hour. It's like, no, you can't. You have all this on your shoulders. You got to do it. So it's kind of it's a sick motivation on my end, and it helps me push my way through because, again, it's something I love, and I've always wanted to do this, and now that I'm doing it, I'm not going to stop doing it. I'm going to make sure I can keep doing it because I love Halloween. I love scaring people. I love watching people go through the entire environment, experiencing it all. I love it.
What does success look like to you? Like what's the end game on that?
For this year, the goal is to make my money back. It's highly possible. It's not improbable. But for my future, yeah, I would love to, you know, work full time with this commercial haunt and as well as making my masks and props. It's just, I like working with my hands. I like being creative. It's what I do. I've tried working in an office before. I felt very claustrophobic and very stuck. Yeah, my dream is to work in the Halloween and haunted house industry full time.
Does your mask company make enough money to support you?
Surprisingly, yeah. Before the first year, it was a little slow. The second year it started picking up, but now after 2016 season, I no longer really have to worry too much about it. But like every business, you have to nurture it and make sure it keeps growing. You can't forget about it, but kind of a good feeling knowing that something that you love doing is able to keep going on its own.
And you're wanting to translate that into the haunt, basically, you know, have a yearly commercial event in the area where you can use some of the creations from your mask company and display them.
Oh, yeah.
In the haunt.
Yeah. The sports arena, the owner will allow us back if we do well this year. They can even sign us up for even more dates or more weekends, which is why we're really pushing to make sure we can meet our projections. And yeah, the haunt itself was the reason why the mask company started to begin with. The haunt needed specific characters, so I was like, well, I'll just make masks for it. Now, like, oh, I have all these masks, I might as well sell them. And one thing led to another. Starting a business takes a lot of energy and a lot of money as well. And next thing you know, that mask company turns into a self-sustaining business, and it's now I'm solely relied on it. And I was just like, wow.
So tell me about the moment that you fell in love with Halloween.
The moment I fell in love with Halloween, the haunt actually started with my neighbor next door. She used to put on a home haunt, and I would be too scared to go in. I didn't like scary things. I didn't watch horror movies until one year I actually got to work her last year she did the haunt. And I scared and I had a blast and I got the bug then. And that's when I fell in love with, you know, this is fun. The moment that I knew I couldn't stop doing the haunt and turn around and or do anything else was after I graduated from high school. I was like, okay, I'm done with the haunt. I'm gonna go to school. I'm gonna focus on school, you know, have a social life, and then I'll come back after college and then do the haunt. That didn't go according to plan. I got to live my nightmare. I woke up Halloween morning and I looked at my roommate and I said, I'm gonna do the haunt. Because it's like, I couldn't turn away. So I contacted all my neighbors and my families and friends and says, we're putting on the haunt. We don't have much time. So we put up, it wasn't as extravagant as the mazes that were prior, but we put up a 4-hour haunt and it still was successful. And at that point, at the end of the night, I was like, well, looks like I can't stop doing this. I tried and it didn't go too well. Now, look at it now. It's going commercial for the 2016 season. So that was the time I knew I couldn't stop.
Was there a moment from an audience member that made you believe that you could succeed with a commercial haunt?
Probably when I started seeing it was around the 4th or 5th year. That's when I actually had people asking to help out, coming up with more ideas, giving me ideas like, hey, because before it was just like, I had the idea and that's what the idea we were going for. Now it's people who are like, hey, we got this idea. How about this or this? We have, and then people would start, I had family and friends who would contact me. They'll just send me a photo of something. Another thing was as a home haunt, we did a, you know, we had a tally, figure out, you know, where are people actually coming from? It wasn't just the local area anymore. We had people coming from Anaheim, Compton. The farthest was Corona. Like, you came all the way from Corona. Like, yeah. We had a person who came, or they didn't come specifically from Europe, but they were from Europe, and they just happened to be in the area. Just like, oh, and they enjoyed it. And just like, just watching everyone coming from a different location and seeing how far. And during the home haunt years, we weren't allowed to advertise because it wasn't supposed to. Just watching word of mouth spread was pretty insane. And people know where I live because that's where the haunt is. They're like, oh, you live where that home haunt is. And it's like, yeah, that's our crazy house.
If you were to put your 12 years together and you were to make like a highlight reel, what are two moments that you would put in that highlight reel from your 12-year experience?
Well, I talked about it prior. It was the 4-hour haunt. And then either, I would say it would be the city shutting me down. No, the most memorable moment would probably be my first year I did the haunt. It was very tiny, it was tarp, and we were just little kids. And at the very end of the night, like as soon as it was done, the last person went through and, you know, you're still in haunt mode and scaring and stuff like that. Everyone was like, all right. And you just hear the neighbors and the adults, all right, that was the last one. Congratulations. And you just hear everyone clap. And that was like the moment you're like, oh, that was so fun. And yeah, that was probably my most memorable moment. Still live in my head to this day.
So in many ways, you're like a full-time artist, because you create masks and equipment all year round for the industry. And then you further create this event every October.
Yep. People ask what I do for a living. I just tell them I work in the Halloween haunted attraction industry, making masks, props, haunted houses. It's what I do now.
All right. So is there anything you'd like to add before we sign off?
Just, you know, come check out Blackthorn Scream Fest, Pico Rivera Sports Arena. Can't miss it. Right next to the Rose Hill Cemetery, October 28th, 29th. Get your tickets online, $25 general admission, pre-sale at blackthornscreamfest.com. BLACKTHORNESCREAMFEST.com. It's a lot of words, but it's there.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Before we sign off for the episode, I need to give some love to our show sponsor, Z-Tag.
It was intense.
When the apocalypse comes.
When I was running, I completely dodged an entire crowd of 9.
Will you survive?
You gotta act quickly.
Z-Tag brings the undead to life.
If you take your time, it's gonna be too late.
In a real world challenge.
Next thing you know, you turn around, there's zombies.
Of speed, agility, and survival.
This is an awesome birthday.
It's zombies against humans. Hashtag play ZTAG.
I'm Philip Hernandez, and this show is produced by the Haunted Attraction Network. Today's episode was edited and mixed by Mike Migas. Chris Thomas wrote and performed our theme song and our special introduction music. Additional music and vocals from Music Radio Creative. Today's sponsor was Gantam Live and ZTAG. Learn more at www.ztag.com or by finding them on social at PlayZTAG. If you enjoyed today's episode, please, please consider subscribing and leaving us a review in iTunes or your favorite podcaster app. Those reviews help us tremendously. If you leave a review, hit us up on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook, and we can thank you personally. Thanks for listening, and until next time, stay scary.